know when the flow is loco. Young B and the ROC. Uh-oh, OG, big homie, the one and only. Stick bony, but the pockets are fat like Tony. Soprano, the rock handle like Ben X2. I shake bonies, man, you can't get next to. The genuine article, I do not sing, though. I sling, though, if anything, I bling, yo. Star like Ringo, war like a green beret. Crazy, bring your whole set. Crazy in the range, crazy in the range. They can't figure them out, they like, hey, is he insane? Yes, sir, I'm cut from a different cloth. My texture is the best firm chinchilla. I've been ill and changed.
And hello, ladies and gentlemen, and people that don't subscribe to gender of the Medford, Somerville area and beyond. My name's Luke Poutler. This is my first show of the semester. I am here with, I guess I'm continuing my tradition of doing a different show every semester. This is Elephant Loaf, which is going to be my show where I interview a different person every week for the whole semester. And this week I have a good friend and awesome guest, Nick Sorger, with me.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm honored to be here for the first ever edition of Elephant Loaf. My mom always said I had a good face for radio, so I'm excited to try it out.
We are very happy to have you. Can you talk a little bit about the song that just played?
Yeah, of course. So a little bit under the hood of Elephant Loaf, before coming on, Luke asked me to send him 7-8-ish songs, all of my choosing. So the first song that you just heard was Ollie Yorin, with apostrophe N, by Tyler Childers. Tyler Childers is a country music folk artist hailing from, I believe, West Virginia. And he is one of my, we'll get into it, I think, as the show progresses, but I've been real into like a country folk music kick, and Ollie Yorin is a recent song of his on one of his most recent studio albums about love, and it's more operatic, and it's just so awesome. I love belting it.
Heck yeah. I was really vibing with it. I listened to it a little earlier today, but I got the first full listen just a minute ago, and big fan.
It's yummy for sure, yeah.
We can just transition this right into kind of music genres and how you're feeling about those. That is, another kind of under the hood of Elephant Loaf thing is I have a list of ever-growing questions in a couple different categories that I'm going to let guests kind of choose what the interviews look like. And so one of the questions Nick chose for tonight was, what's your favorite genre of music, and what do you like about it?
I think that is an awesome question. It's like I chose it. My favorite genre of music, I think, is like so variable because I think whatever I'm listening to at that moment is like super dependent on so many factors in my life. But really, really recently, like I would say in the last maybe 3 months, half a year, I've been listening to a lot of country music. And I say that with a pretty heavy asterisk because I think I'm from around here. I'm from Massachusetts, and I kind of always had the perception of country music as maybe not the purest form of music, whatever that means. I definitely had a feeling that, you know, I always like, oh, I don't like country, whatever. Oh, country stinks. Mm-hmm. But then I actually found that there's more country music than like Nashville country music. You know, not everything is like Luke Bryan, Morgan Wallen, you know, about pickup trucks and back roads. And I think that music's fun to listen to. It has its place, but I've been really loving kind of more folky country music by artists like Sturgill Simpson, Tyler Childers, Zach Bryan, Justin Townes Earl too, kind of stories of Appalachia have been things I've been really, really loving with, really like kind of more into the like fiddle heavy, mandolin heavy, just like fun country music that's like more would be like what people in the 1950s kind of like similar ballads and stuff.
Okay, yeah, for sure. I mean, we got some banjo in there as well with the fiddle and the...
Yeah, there's some banjo in there. Mm-hmm. Ollie Yorin was a pretty, like, intense song. I think there's definitely some, like, electric elements in there, not all acoustic.
Yeah.
But a lot of what I've been listening to has been pretty acoustic, pretty twangy, I would say.
Fair enough. And, like, even... There are, I don't know if I would put Jack Symes, who we're going to listen to later, quite in this same category, but I definitely feel like there are elements that are similar, at least like audibly, if not in message, in like tune.
Yeah, I think it kind of, like my whole genre of music that I really ascribe to is I just really love folk music.
Mm-hmm.
I think folk music is a super, obviously a very broad category. You can describe any music anywhere.
Yeah.
I had the privilege of going to a Jack Symes shows in Harvard Square over the summer, and he described himself as a folk artist, which I thought was really interesting because I wouldn't really get his vibe as being folky, but he really saw some of his songs on his discography as kind of more folk tunes. And that doesn't mean, you know, acoustic guitar, but it just means like talking about how he and real people feel in like ways that might not be as like sonically engaging as pop music, but ways that like kind of speak more to your soul. And I thought that was really interesting. So I like really seen like the genre of music I liking as folk, but like in that being like folk country, you know, folk indie pop,
mm-hmm.
You know, like even like folk rock, like, you know, bands like Will Dorado or Mount Joy, I really love to listen to, or Camp, I guess, Camp and the Lumineers too.
Oh,
kind of just like,
yeah,
you know, genre of folk music and seeing like little niches of it is generally what I love to listen to, but specifically country folk music is what I've been really loving at this point in time in my life.
Sweet. And like it definitely changes over time, and you kind of opened with saying that like folk is broadly what I like, but I've kind of gone in this special direction recently. I guess this gets into another question that we have, but has it always been broadly folk?
I would say not at all. I think I feel like I only really started, like, I feel like in, you know, I don't know when I really started listening to music. My parents weirdly were not, like, radio people. Like, they enjoyed music. And we'd go to the Boston Symphony Orchestra, and we'd go to ballets and operas all the time. But I don't think I remember ever hearing my parents, like, listen to music records in my car. Like, we'd always listen to NPR. We were an NPR family.
Gotcha.
You know, like, my Saturday mornings were Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and Car Talk, not really, like, listening to 103.3 or Kiss 108 or, you know, classic rock station. So I never really, like, listened to music a lot as a kid that was, like, music on the radio. So I really, like, reflecting on it now, I really feel like I didn't really have a strong sense of the music that I liked and listened to, just because I didn't listen to a lot of music as a kid. So going into middle school and, you know, like, getting your first iPod and then eventually, you know, getting an iPhone as I went to high school, like, having the power to listen to my own music was really interesting. But I found that I, like, listened to more so what was listening around me, and that was a lot of, you know, hip hop music, like a lot of rap, a lot of trap. I think, like, I was 14 when Migos, like, became big. I just remember, like, Stir Fry, you know, and just a bunch of, like, you know, J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar and the Migos and Travis Scott, and were really, and, like, more trap, you know, like, 21 Savage even was, like, what I listened to a lot in high school.
Okay. Totally.
Which, you know, I think is interesting. Like, I'll still listen to it if I want to, like, work out in the gym and get super hyped and, like, be like, I don't really want to focus on the music I'm listening to. I want, like, a fun beat with, like, lyrics.
Yeah.
But I, you know, as I went throughout high school and then as I transitioned into college, I wanted music that spoke to me more on, like, a level of something that I could relate to.
Totally.
Which, you know, 21 Savage, J. Cole, not my lived experience, fairly obviously. So I'm like, I need to, like, I love this music, but I need to find something else. And then I'd always really loved Johnny Cash. Was, like, the really, like, my grandfather loved Johnny Cash.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, I would say, like, Ring of Fire was one of the first songs I ever remember listening to. And then, like, finding, like, Ring of Fire, listening to some Johnny Cash. And then I'm always, like, I think one of my favorite ever visual experiences has been Ken Burns' Vietnam, his 10-part documentary series. I know it's super niche and seems like it has nothing to do with anything, but one of the greatest parts of that whole, about the documentary, besides, like, talking a lot about the era, like, the American 1960s and 1970s, is that it has an incredible discography, or incredible, like, soundtrack to it, because the music at the time was so interesting. So I remember probably, you know, watching and listening that documentary is the first time I ever listened to a Bob Dylan song. Listened to a Bob Dylan song. I was like, oh my God, I really love this. And so, like, from Bob Dylan getting into, like, kind of not, you know, I'm not going to say the, you know, one of the classic American folk artists, you know, listening to song, like, Masters of War, for example, is a Bob Dylan song I really love about everything. Just so many, A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, I think, is my favorite Bob Dylan song. And, like, from that, just, like, really being folk, like, not really caring about how it sounds, but, like, caring about the story that it tells and the story it evokes. And then I kind of just, like, went to more modern music, you know, kind of more indie rock stuff. I think I mentioned Mount Joy. Mount Joy is, like, one of my favorite bands. Camp is, like, another awesome band. And then finding solo artists like Hozier is really, like, I love Hozier, love the Lumineers. Just, like, kind of finding, and I don't think that's all folk. Like, I think it's pop. I don't even know what they describe themselves. Like, I don't want to put a label on people that I think make just crazy awesome music. But just kind of finding more of that. And, like, in the last 2 years out of high school, kind of coming into my own is, like, understanding the music taste I have is, like, pretty eclectic. But it's all, like, kind of fueled by, like, good stories. And that's not to say that I don't like listening to, like, fun dance music, but
it's a different place, almost.
Scratches a different itch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I might sneak in real quick and do something that I forgot to do at the top of the show, which is just remind the listeners that you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you for tuning in. But, I mean, I really get that, and as someone that's liked artists like Hozier and the Lumen, like, in high school, I probably ping-ponged between Vance Joy, the Lumineers, Hozier, and Of Monsters and Men. And those were, like, the core four bands. I don't have a name for that genre. And I think you could argue that, like, any two of those are probably not in the same genre or in very similar genres, but not quite it.
Yeah.
Like,
Lumineers is, like, you know, tambourines and stomping in a barn. But, like, what
exactly
is that? You know, and Hozier's like kind of sad swamp music, but it's like kind of the same stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
like you know, you listen to Cleopatra, you're like, that's sad. You listen to Cherry Wine, you're like, that's sad. But like sad in a cool, like sad in like a, this is a lived experience. It's like so awesome to like hear this person ruminate and then sing about.
Yeah. Oh, totally, totally. Wild. Do you want to go into our first song break?
Yeah, I would love to hear Funnel of Love right now.
We can get a song Funnel I've really of Love going.
It's another old song. The vocal fry on this is kind of the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
All right, this is Funnel of Love by Wanda Jackson.
The funnel of love. It's such a crazy, crazy feeling. I get weak in the knees. My poor old head is a reeling as I go deep into the funnel of love. I tried and I tried to run and hide. I even tried to run away. You just can't run from the funnel of love. It's bound to get you someday. It's such a crazy, crazy feeling. I get weak in the knees. My poor old head is a reeling as I go deep into the funnel of love. I tried and I tried to run and hide. I even tried to run away. You just can't run from the funnel of love. It's bound to get you someday.
And that was Funnel of Love by Wanda Jackson, as expertly introduced by Nick right before the break.
I think I'm a little dizzy now. I've been falling.
You've been falling?
Into the funnel.
Deep?
It's kind of a goofy song. The vocal fry is, I think I already said that, but it's kind of
electric.
It's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Oh.
It excites me.
It excites you. I mean, you were saying not all of what you're listening to right now is Nashville, but I am looking at the label, and it was at least produced in Nashville.
Yeah, but I believe it was 1959.
This is true.
Live
this
recording
is very
from 1959,
true.
So I think maybe that gets a pass.
Yeah.
And I think the fun thing about Nashville country is, like, I think it's, like, a fun... Well, it's like fun music. It's like fun music that you don't have to think about music.
Yeah, it's in the same way that I like a lot of pop, I really enjoy, you know, belting like Cruise while riding around. Like, there are a number of country songs which I take an incredible amount of joy in just screaming at the top of my lungs.
Cannot agree with you more. Yeah.
Awesome. Do you want to get into another question?
I would love nothing more to.
We talked maybe about going back and forth between serious and silly. I feel like we've been serious now for a while with the music. Do you want to pull out one of our silly questions?
Yeah, I mean, I think the age-old debate of, do you think there are more doors or wheels in the world?
Okay.
And, like, why? Is really intriguing, if not completely silly.
So, yeah, I would first of all, certainly agree that it is both intriguing and silly. I would add, for some of our listeners that are maybe not as internet savvy, mainly my parents, sorry to call you guys out, but this is perhaps not an age-old debate, but started on the internet, was it at the beginning of this summer? Like, within the past year, I feel like.
It seems a while to me, but my temporal clock is...
Age-old, yeah, certainly. Yeah.
All over there.
I think for me, it's a game of definitions.
It ought to be doors.
For me, it's a game of definitions, and if we count wheels, cogs, and gears as wheels,
since
the Industrial Revolution, I think it's been wheels.
I think that's a good point. I never thought of it in that in depth. Like I think a gear is not a wheel. I think
okay,
a gear is a you know a little object that is not it's round. It's round.
And it turns to accomplish a purpose.
It turns to accomplish a purpose, but it's not like wheels are on dollies and on cars and on toy vehicles. I don't think like we like.
Okay, so let's adapt our definition. Is a wheel then like a circle that's under something to help it move?
I would say that is what I thought as a wheel.
Okay.
But I think like, you know, water wheels count. You know, if it's wheel in the name.
If it's okay, so that's how I feel about doors. If it's got door in the name, like a washing machine door, I would count.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I think definitively there has to be more doors.
Hmm.
Like, well, you know, it's one of those. There's just so many doors everywhere, but there's also so many wheels.
So I would agree, and the only way that I can like go about thinking about this is I've got to break it down into small sections, right?
Indubitably.
And so I think most of our land vehicles are. Well, I'd see most of our land vehicles are like cars, right?
Yeah.
Cars, I would call on average wheel neutral.
Yeah.
You got a steering wheel, you got four wheels on the bottom. Average car has four doors and a trunk.
Yeah.
And so I'd call that five wheels, five doors. It's.
Doors are a win. I think the way
but like
that wheels...
apartment buildings, cruise ships, these are all door-positive things. You
yeah,
know?
But then wheel-positive things are like warehouses.
True.
You know, like places of business are pretty wheel... Like, think about how many spare dollies are in the world. Or like, you know, you know the little gym things you scooted around on your butt. You know what I'm saying?
In middle school.
Yeah, those things that made no sense that looked like they could like perfectly house a milk cart, but some reason we give them to the children.
Yeah, and like have pinched hands in the worst ways possible,
the
craziest
bloodthirsters I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. I borderline a war crime to have those in sixth grade gym, but...
maybe people committed some.
That's a good point. I mean, that's a whole bunch of wheels right there.
That's a bunch of wheels.
And multiply that by every sixth grade gym across probably just the United States. I can't imagine other countries are crazy enough to have this as a thing.
But I'm also thinking hand carts, you know, like just car, like there's a lot of bicycles.
Bicycles, scooters. Okay.
Bicycles are incredibly door wheel positive. I mean, they're door negative. Net negative doors.
Bicycles, I've never seen a bicycle that doesn't have at least six doors on it. No.
Hatchback. My hatchback track bike.
It's unrelated, we'll get back to the door thing in a second. I have noticed like probably 4 to 5 times the number of electric scooters on campus this year than I have ever noticed before. I don't know if that's just like a I saw one and now it's a bias thing ever since, or like is that your experience?
I
as
mean
well?
No hate to the people that frequent electric scooters, but mm-hmm. There are so many there. I don't want to like step on anyone's toes. Like,
yes.
I understand that they're an efficient way to get around.
They are.
I would say that there's also electric bikes. I would say that like electric scooters happen to be one of the oddest looking inventions to ride with any type of like, dare I say, dignity.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like it's hard to scoot around and like, because you have to be like completely erect.
Yes.
You know, like I never see a slumped
like stood
scooter.
Straight up.
You can't scoop. You can't scoot slumped. You must
yes.
be. Your hands must be like like next to each other on the tiny little handlebars.
Absolutely.
Like extend the handlebars at least, and then
yes.
you're just kind of like bumping along, and you're like, you're facing forward.
So,
like you're not. You don't look athletic or like you're about to do something. You just kind of look like you're like.
Yep.
Throwing yourself against the road.
Well, just to play devil's advocate here for a second, mainly for comedic purposes. I will raise you.
Yeah.
You are, your posture is impeccable.
Yeah.
Your head is held high. On a bike, you're hunched. On a bike, you are kind of like crooning around a little bit. I see how scooters can be comedic, but I like, is there not a foolish dignity to them?
I think there's a foolish characteristic quality to them. I don't
okay.
think it's dignity. I think where bikes have moxie, scooters have... lack of I think scooters are the anti-moxie. Like bikes are like
Oh, okay.
Bike, you are, like, you don't need, you know, it's, I feel like a bike is just like, maybe it's big bikes are just programmed, but the big bike industry is programming this into my brain.
Exactly.
I just feel like bikes are like, even electric bikes, I'm like, okay, at least you're pretending to pedal. Like, there's pedals involved. Like,
yeah.
You need to move your, like, electric scooters, like, no one's like pushing themselves, you know, no one's scooting. Like, everybody's just riding.
True. I mean, like, would it be more dignified if they were scooting?
No, it'd be worse, because then they'd be dragging their foot.
I'm trying to identify the problem here, sorry.
I think, like, electric bikes are cool, because I just think bikes are cooler than scooters. Like, I think, like, normal bikes are cooler than scooters. Okay. You can just do cooler, better things on a scooter, on a bike.
To bring it back to the door versus wheel debate, if we've got scooters, bikes, and skateboards, I would say, is the third college mode of transport that I see a lot around campus.
Yeah, this is true.
I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, but are umbrellas doors?
Because
I've been seeing a lot of umbrellas recently, and it is terrifying me. I did not know umbrellas were such a big deal.
So,
umbrella culture is strong and ingrained.
Wow.
Are they a door? Do they open? They open.
They
open, and then they prevent things from going inside them.
Okay. If an umbrella is a door because it opens, is hunting season a door because it opens? Like,
No. You're thinking too physically.
I don't think you're thinking physically enough.
Is a day a wheel because it turns, because point A to point B happens over again?
Is a clock a wheel because no?
I say a clock's a wheel. You can rotate if you like put it down a hill. It went like ka-thunk, ka-thunk, ka-thunk.
Fair. No. I'm going to refer back to my previous definition of door, is like, if you can fit door in the name, and umbrella door is not something I've ever heard before.
I'm
personally
very certain it's something in Europe. An umbrella door, it just happens, it's one of those, it's like a flying staircase. It's just like,
yeah, what? Is a flying staircase a thing in Europe?
I think it's just a thing.
Oh, okay, cool.
I don't.
Sure?
Don't ask me what it is, but I've heard that. I took an architecture class here for 2 weeks, and then I dropped it because it was intimidating.
Was this the walking around Boston one?
No, I didn't get into that class.
Bummertown.
Yeah, Bummertown.
Yeah.
I am in this class on, and this sounds so annoying when I say it, fin de siècle, which I have learned in this class means end of the century France.
Oh,
and Vanier,
okay.
Which is very cool class that I'm enjoying thoroughly. And we're learning a lot about doors and not a lot about wheels, so touche, as they say in France.
Touche, indeed. Indeed. I could be convinced. If we use this definition of door and wheel, then I can be convinced. Because I think, like, an apartment building is a huge door positive area, and there are so many of those. And if you count, like, I'd say a cabinet door is a door. I'd say that, like, a refrigerator. I can be talked into doors if we use this definition. But if we count cogs and gears, then I
think you're right. But also, can I be completely honest? I kind of forgot halfway through that argument which side I was arguing for.
Okay, you did start off with wheels, and
I started off with wheels.
No, you didn't. I'm trying to convince you that I've won. When in fact I've bowed to you. You have won.
Let's call it a truce. Let's say no one wins.
Okay.
Because I think winners is just bad for competition. Everyone needs to lose. There's no losers, just winners. No, there's no winners,
just
losers.
That is the hottest take. I hear a lot of people I would say our parents' generation go like, there's something wrong with you guys. Everyone's a winner. Like, that's bad. I like flipping the script and saying we're all losers.
I think winning creates complacency sometimes.
I'd like you to elaborate on that.
No, just not in anything seriously. Like,
okay.
Whatever. I think people need victories and wins, but
yeah, okay.
You know, in the matter of doors versus windows, if there's a clear winner, then why would anyone try to even debate something so silly again?
Well, we just did. Does
exactly.
That
like,
make us silly?
Like, if someone was definitively like, "Hey guys, I've crunched the numbers. I've tabulated my spreadsheets.
Okay.
I created a program."
I agree with you, except in cases of humor. I think there can be a lot of joy gained by doing something that, like, doing something silly to that serious degree for amusement.
I agree. But if Gustav Dor, you know, the inventor of doors, was just like, hey, guys, like, figure it out.
You were learning about him in your turn of the century class, right?
He was one of the most influential people of the 18th century.
Okay.
Before doors, it is, like, kind of...
You couldn't even call it an open and shut case.
You know those like saloon things that they have where it just kind of like flings back at you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all they had. That or fences, like Minecraft gate fences.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was kind of a tragic time then.
You could not hold a drink in a door.
You could not hold it. True. True.
So many hot soup. French onion soup was, in fact, invented after Gustave Dore.
Oh, yes, because finally there was a way of, like, passing through an entryway without immediately running into someone.
Yeah, it's like firemen and waitstaff often had the same job. They had to wear fire retardant, like, blankets upon themselves.
Oh, I mean, and as we know, that's a very important thing for waitstaff in the turn of which century? Because that's a confusing thing to
I've taken three classes and I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Okay.
I'll get back to you.
Gotcha.
It has to be one of them.
I've narrowed it down. It's probably after the year 1000.
Yeah, no, definitely photography was like not a thing yet, but also kind of a thing. But also like sometimes pictures were really good, so I can't tell anymore. Like
that narrows it. That actually does a splendid job of narrowing turn of the it at the moment.
20th century. So into the 1890s, into the 1900s.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Narrow that one down.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And overall, the classes, I mean, what are you learning about? Pictures, it sounds like.
Learning about pictures. We're learning about kind of the cultures at the time. It is like kind of the best. I'm a STEM major. It sounds like a really evil, evil combination, but I'm a mathematics and economics major. And
boy, Nick, you said that awful quiet.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I love this humanities. It's like a awesome humanities class. We're just like listening to a bunch of like symphony and music and opera, like a lot of opera, which I really enjoy. And then like our professor, will just be like, oh, you know, like it could have gone like this. And we'll just like sit down at the piano and like play a little tunes. I'm like, wow, this is the best thing ever. This is interactive. This is literally 4D learning.
So there's a musical aspect to it as well.
Yeah. It's art culture. So it's like, you know, visual art. And then it's also musical art. And then it's also a lot of philosophy kind of the time. And then a lot of like cultural happenings. It's kind of a weird time to study. There's a lot of weird nuance.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
it's kind of a controversial time to be alive and kind of a offensive time to be a person to the modern attitude, but also like as a person itself. There was a lot of discourse of like how to be a good person, and so people were really bad people to some other people, and people were like, you know, fine. And then all of them were kind of morally tough if you look at it from the 2022
if you take a step back, they
not great.
Sounds like it's been a really good first three classes then.
Awesome. And it's like once a week. So it's like, I'm like, oh, great. Oh. Now my Tuesdays are free. It's like a Tuesday class. And I'm like, oh, Thursday is easy. No class.
Oh, okay.
It's the best thing ever.
Is it your only thing on Tuesday right now then?
No. I have Tuesday's like a busy day. I got class from like 9 to 5:45.
Gotcha. Kind of joint. Yeah. And so Thursday is good by comparison.
Thursday is great by comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Coming off a high right now.
Thoughts on going into another song?
I would love to.
Do you have a preferred one? Last one you had one locked, loaded, and ready to go.
I just wanted to hear that because I was kind of itching for some zoodles, you know, some fun little sounds.
Gotcha.
I think Dealer's Choice, I guess.
Okay, if I could be so bold, I want to play a song that you introduced to me that I have quite liked since.
Oh, I'm excited.
Confessions, and with the angels. tried. Trust me, ma'am.
I guess he just kind of said it himself, but that was Cool God by Jack Symes, who we talked a little bit about earlier in the show. And now, Nick, you've got a little bit of an announcement for us.
I do have a PSA for everybody. I just want everybody aware that there's something very dangerous in your home. It could be hiding in a closet or waiting in the basement, and it's not sharp or toxic or flammable. Yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other hazard item. I cannot speak. I apologize. Yes, using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org/ladder safety.
Yeah, and I one thing you asked me during the break, which I had an answer in mind. I don't think I gave you a great answer, which was, why do we do PSAs? I believe it is like the FCC who looks over the airwaves and the things that you have to do. One of the things that they have us do is the legal ID, which is identifying the station at the top. And I guess at the top of every hour twice, someone in radio mentioned, like somebody from WMFO educated me a while back that the bottom of the hour is not like 9:50, the bottom of the hour is 9:30.
That's really confusing.
Which is really confusing.
Why?
Well, because I guess if the top is like, if you look at a clock,
I see exactly what you're saying.
Maybe
now.
Yeah.
That's yep. It makes more sense if you think about the clock, but that's still not like how that works intuitively.
I would agree, but
well, I guess that actually is exactly how that works intuitively, but
it's one of those things where it's only intuitive when you stop and take a moment to think about it, which maybe means that it's not intuitive.
Dare I say touche?
You dare. Let's jump back into another one of the questions that Nick picked for tonight, which is number 6 from the first section, which is kind of just about ourselves and things that we've witnessed or feel about the world. And that is, what is a strange, funny, or kind thing that a stranger has done that has stuck with you?
When I saw this question on the little guest sheet, the little list, I like knew I had to talk about this one. Not because this is particularly deep, although I think this might get into a deeper conversation.
Okay.
It's like something that I've thought about so much for no reason at all. Like, I can't really describe it, but I've thought about it a lot. And so I was basically, all the situation was that I was at a deli. I was grabbing a sandwich, and there was a father and youngish toddler daughter. And she asked, like, "Dad, like, can I have some of this brisk lemonade?" Literally all she wanted was lemonade. And then the dad read the label, said it had caffeine in it. And he was like, "No, no, sorry, honey. Like, don't have it. It's caffeine. It's bad for you." And then she was like, "Why? I want it. It looked good." Whatever. And the dad said, "It's caffeine. You know what's, you know what else is in that has caffeine? Coffee. Do you like the taste of coffee?" She said, "No." And then didn't want the lemonade anymore because it tasted like coffee. And I have thought so much about that, like, one interaction. I think it happened maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Like,
oh,
literally,
goodness.
When I was like 15. Mm-hmm. And I have I don't know why I keep going back to it. Like, why I think about that. Like, I think, like, hearing the white lies that parents tell to their young children, or even just their normal children, to get them to stop asking questions, because, like, I think it's always super interesting, because it says a lot about, like, the patience level of the parent and, like, the mm-hmm. understanding of the child to be like, okay, now I see how the world, like, given this information, it's totally logical that this adult who I trust very much is telling me something that is, like, factual. They know what's going on. I'll trust them. I won't say anything more.
Yep.
For whatever reason, that's very comforting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it, like, kind of extends into, like, there's a lot of existential lies you tell yourself every single day just to, like, make myself feel a bit better.
Oh, my goodness.
And, like, I don't, yeah. like, see that as, like, a sad thing, but it's also just, like, maybe some days I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't, like, climate change, yes, caffeine, man, you know, it
yeah.
tastes like coffee, not right now. Like, don't need to think about that. And I don't know why, I don't think that has, like, a really, like, straightforward or in any way, like, logical explanation or, like, pathway to it. But, like, for some reason, that one interaction has given me a lot of comfort.
Yeah.
Especially, I think, during COVID. And I don't know yeah. why, but, like, having someone tell me, like, this is what will happen. It's okay. You don't want it.
Yep.
Is, like, I wish someone would come up with white lies so I wouldn't have to worry that I'm missing out of, like, the better part of my teenage, like, end of my teenage, like, you
yeah.
know, to college years.
Because, I mean, you didn't do a gap year, right?
I did not do a gap year.
Yeah, and so you are of my same grade that missed senior prom, that probably didn't have a great graduation, if you had one at all.
It was drive-in.
It was drive-in.
Yeah, it was yeah. like Sonic at the local Sonic. That's a lie. It was a joke.
I didn't think we had any Sonics in Massachusetts.
We got smoothies and gowns.
You got fascinating. That is fascinating to me. I hope that sticks with me, because I think saying, like, tastes like coffee at a moment where otherwise things are not great, you know? Yeah, I could see how that could be, like, a very comforting thing of just, like, reminding yourself that you don't always need to read so much into the world, and you can just go, we're gonna say this has purpose, and we're gonna move on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think it is completely ridiculous that I think about it so much, or that when I saw this question, like, that is what stuck out to me, because I've just seen, you know, in one's life, I've seen so many strange, funny, and kind things that people have done, but, like,
yeah.
that is something I think about quite often, and I have no idea why.
This is exactly the kind of story that I was hoping that, like, guests would tell on the show, and, like, part of the reason why I wrote that question is because I think those stories of like, interactions with strangers are always, like, fascinating, and I have a very hard time remembering any.
Yeah.
Like, the only real, like, stranger interaction story I have, and this doesn't have as great of a quote that comes along with it, but, like, the first time I was ever using my debit card to get cash from an ATM, there was a ever so patient man behind me as I tried to swipe it one way, tried to swipe it the other way, and did the whole, like, USB plug-in thing of, like, wait, I got it wrong before, but I also got it wrong this time, so I don't really know which one is correct.
It's a
And he just very kindly walked me through it and was like, I can go around to like I can leave, you can go, this is taking a long time.
Yeah, when you panic and then you're just like, I'll be like so unbelievably like conciliatory just so people don't judge me as being incompetent.
Yeah, and this guy was patient and he didn't care and he kind of helped walk me through it a little bit, which was nice of him given that this happened when I was a good like 18, 19 years old. And that was not very long ago, and I was probably directionally as much an adult then as I am now, if you do some rounding. But that's awesome. And I also want to use your caffeine story to just say, parents, older guardians of my life, there were multiple times as a kid where I tried to explain something and an adult just went, that's not how that works. And I was like, wait, but I was told earlier that that's how that works. And they're like, no, not at all. Like rain is not just the clouds melting. Like there's more to it than that.
My dad is a college professor. And so he has an incredible ability to speak with authority, but make up everything he's saying.
Incredible.
It's like, I think... it's like exceptionally how like, and my brother, I'm a twin, so my twin brother.
I didn't know you were a twin, I don't think we've recently talked about the fact that you're a twin.
Nice save. Yeah. So my twin brother has like picked up the exact same habit, and sometimes they're just speaking, and I'm just like, you really have no idea what you're talking about, right? Like, you have no idea like anything about geology, and you're telling me that these rock bands are from the Paleozoic. I'm like, what, like. Where would you have gotten this knowledge? How would you have known it? And how can you apply it, right? And they're just talking with, like, they are so convincing that they're convincing themselves.
Yeah.
And so from that, as a child, I was just, like, inlaid by just bad, awful ways of explaining the universe around me. And I was like, Dad knows. I'm, like, trying to think of some right now, but...
Yeah.
Mine's running a blank.
They're hard to think of because... If they've been done properly, you think they're just correct.
Yeah, exactly.
You think they're just right. My mom is also a master of that. Of just like, yeah, there are penguins there. And you're like, it's Peru. I don't know if there are penguins in Peru.
Sure.
And it's just like, yes.
Yeah.
There are.
There's iceberg in the inland sea of Peru.
Yeah.
Icebergs, man.
Yep.
We read an atlas, bro.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm like, okay.
Oh.
Okay, Dad. Okay, Peta.
How are you feeling about another song? Another question?
I kind of love listening to music on these headphones.
Awesome. I like Mount Joy, and I don't think I've heard Orange Blood before, so
this
that's
is,
my...
This is off of their newest album, I believe.
Incredible.
It's a good hoon.
Ooh. Ooh.
I'm excited.
Oh,
Nick, I'm gonna say it. I really like that song. I quite like that song.
Thank you. Are we?
We're on. Yeah, sorry.
That was kind of crazy. I was like, wow.
Are you here?
I'm hearing it. Yeah, that was. It's a good song. It's off of their new album. It's a fun driving song for sure.
Yeah.
Mountjoy is like one of the.
Oh, I can imagine.
One of the, I went to a concert of theirs. In South Carolina, I went on like a little road trip shindig at the end of freshman year with my two roommates, and went to South Carolina, and we played this. They played at this venue right on the beach, so they played on the beach, and the night ended with my friends and I. We were just hanging out on the beach after the venue, and I was kind of, you know, being a little of a goofball and doing like snow angels with the sand on the beach, and they were right next to us hanging out. And then we were like, who are these people? Oh my God, that's Mountjoy.
That's awesome.
And so we didn't want to disturb them, but I've been spitting distance of Mountjoy, and it's one of my favorite bands. It was kind of cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is, you told me about this road trip, and I think about this story, but you just left it at, it was a band.
Yeah, no, it was Mountjoy.
Last year, yeah. I think it was one of the on-campus days. We were in the parking lot by Ganter walking to or away from a van,
yeah,
and swapping road trip stories, and that was a moment of like, I really vibe with Nick.
Yeah, that's how we met too. Tough school in disorientation.
Yeah, true.
How crazy.
Good Damn. Times.
Yeah.
I might, in the waning minutes of this show, try and steal, use another one of the questions you picked to steal a tip from you, which is, do you have any campus life hacks?
Okay, so
keeping in mind it's got to be something you can say on air without either of us getting in too much trouble.
Of course. So over the summer I worked as the coordinator for Tufts Wellness Orientation. So I was like, had to do a lot with like on-campus authorities and like on-campus administration stuff. And the greatest resource this campus but one of the most awesome resources this campus has is the Tufts University Police Department's non-emergency line.
Okay.
You can get anywhere as long as you have a reasonable excuse
to go there.
You can call them on the phone.
Yes.
And they can unlock any building, literally any building with a FOB key scanner. And as long as you're like, hi, like I'm just like, they will do it. Like most of the times they will basically, like if you need a study room in like 574 and it's like 10, they'll like unlock
crazy.
It for you sometimes. You're like, hey, like I'm sorry. Like, can you open the study room? Like I have it and I just left all my stuff in there. And then I was in it because they open at night. Like,
yep.
You know, the study rooms are like open till 9 p.m.
It got closed on me.
Yeah, it got closed on me and they'll open it for you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's like you will never get locked out of anything ever again. Like you do not need your RA to get into your room.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very, very good.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, like if you call them, like, I can't find my RA, like, I really need to get into your room, I'm super sorry, and they will, like, unlock your door for you, but...
If you're polite about it, and you've got a good reason.
Yeah, and if you have to give them, like, your student ID, and they'll, like, make sure it's, like, whatever the heck, but...
Mm-hmm.
I had to do it once, and I did not get, like, the fee for... Don't spam two people. I don't want to...
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, it's been helpful, especially working in Tufts, mm-hmm. like, in the administrative side of things, like, they can do wonderful things for you.
Yeah.
As in opening doors.
Lot
Which there
of
are more of than windows. I mean, wheels.
Okay, and with that, we've come full circle. A circle is a wheel. And
wheels win.
Thank you so Period. Much for tuning into this, the first episode of Elephant Loaf. This has been Luke and Nick. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Be sure to stick around. We've got an awesome show coming up after us. And Nick, you're going to tell us a little bit about our last planned song of the night.
Yeah, of course. I was going to say, first of all, thank you so much to Luke for having me on this wonderful show. It's going to be awesome. And I hope some listeners will stick around and listen every week to Elephant Loaf. This has been such an honor and so fun.
Oh, well, thank you.
The next song that I have that I gave to Luke to play, because I am the DJ in this, thank you, Luke, is
yes,
Graceland ma'am. By a man named Justin Towns Earl, who is an artist who passed away, I think 5-10 years ago. I kind of forget, but he's a really awesome artist. And this is a cover of the famous Paul Simon song, Graceland, which I think comes from one of my favorite albums, Graceland, the album by Paul Simon. And this song is folky, country-y, gives me a lot of joy, and it's really beautiful. And I hope everybody listening enjoys it.
Sounds like a great note to end on. And here it is.
Well, the Mississippi Delta is shining like a national guitar. I'm following the highway down the river through the cradle of the Civil War. I'm going to Graceland, Graceland, Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Poor boy pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. And my traveling companion, he's 9 years old, and he's the child of my first marriage. And I have reason to believe we all be received in Graceland. And she comes back and tells me she's gone. As if I didn't know that, as if I didn't know my own bed, as if I never noticed the way she combs her hair off her forehead. And she says, losing love is just a window in your heart. Everybody sees you blown apart. Everybody sees the wind blowing. Oh, Graceland, I'm going to Graceland. Poor boy pilgrims with families, and we are going to Graceland. And my traveling companion, he's ghosts in empty sockets. I'm looking at ghosts of empty. And I have reason to believe we all be received in Graceland. Now there's a girl in New York City, she calls herself a human trampoline. Whenever I'm falling, flying, tumbling in turmoil, I say, oh, so this is what she means. And she means we're bouncing into Graceland. Says losing love is just a window in your heart. Everybody sees you blown apart. Everybody sees the wind blowing. Oh, Graceland, I'm going to Graceland. And I may be obliged to defend every love, every ending. Maybe there's no obligations now. For reasons I cannot explain, there's some part of me wants to see Graceland. I'm going to Graceland. I'm going to Graceland. I'm going to Graceland.